Blog Talk Radio.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
The Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
It's Wednesday, May 28th, 2014. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Welcome back, partner.
Great to be with you once again, Bill. We're going to have some fun tonight for sure.
Yes, we are. We're going to do something completely different than we've done in the past, in any of our past shows. We're going to select the first class of the Philly Press Box Hall of Famers. So we made a list of 21. That's the final list. We had 20 floating around, but we're at 21 Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, and 76er players that are already in their respective Hall of Fames. So from the 21, we're going to whittle it down to 10. And that will make up our first class. I'm telling you, Chet, we've got a lot of attention to the listeners already. Facebook was blowing up today. Comments from everywhere, from we didn't know what we were talking about to a good list to who came up with this list. I'm not sure where we're going with this.
Yeah, that's a good thing when there's a little controversy. I think that's going to make it even more fun.
Yes, it will. I'm sure it will. Okay, so I'm going to run down a list by the team. And then we'll discuss them in a different order, but we'll let everybody know who our 21 are that are on the list. We have for the Phillies, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, Robin Roberts, Richie Ashburn, and Jim Bunning. For the Eagles, we have Steve Van Buren, Chuck Bednarik, Pete Pijos, Tommy McDonald, Bob Brown, and Reggie White. For the Flyers, Bobby Clark, Bernie Parent, Bill Barber, and Mark Howell. And for the 76ers, Wilt Chamberlain, Hal Greer, Billy Cunningham, Chet Walker, Julius Erving, and Charles Barkley. We have quite a task in front of us, partner, getting these 21 down to 10.
Yeah, we do indeed, Bill. And we should point out, and this is where some of the controversy comes from, we should point out there are a few names that we did not include for consideration on that list of 21 names, names including Moses Malone and Norm Van Brocklin, because although they are Hall of Famers, true, they didn't play all that many years in Philly. So they're not going to be on this list. Also not on our original list, Allen Iverson. He's not yet in the Basketball Hall of Fame as yet, so we're not going to put him on ours just yet either. No Pete Rose either, nor Brian Dawkins. He's just been retired a few years. He's not in the Football Hall of Fame yet. Now, we've been taking some heat on Facebook, as Bill mentioned, for those omissions, but we will certainly consider all those guys in the future. Also excluded from the list, the legendary coaches we've had in Philly, like Fred Sherrow and Dick Vermeil, or Connie Mack of the old Philadelphia A's. We're going to consider those guys at a later date, too, I'm sure. So, yeah, we've got a list of 21 names. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, we were actually going to bounce around a little bit and just decided that time wasn't going to be right to do it, was to pick one broadcaster to also go in. And but that just wasn't going to warrant the time for us right now. So we'll get to that, though. We're not finished with this topic.
We could talk about this for weeks probably.
That's right. Okay, so we will have our Shop for Kisses phone lines open at 929-477-2855. So feel free to call throughout the show. We do ask that all language be professional. All opinions are welcome, but please be respectful to other people's opinions. Okay, the other thing we're going to do, as soon as the show is over, all the listeners can vote for their 10 favorite guys to be inducted into our first class of Hall of Fame on our article that contains a poll. It will be on www.phillypressbox.com. We'll post it as soon as this show is over. We'll also post that article with the poll on our Facebook pages so people can go right to that as well. And we'll leave that open probably until this time next week. and we'll talk about the results some on our show next week. Okay? You'll also be able to leave comments at the bottom of that article as well. You can add your add-ins there, write-ins there if you'd like, and we'll consider them all. Okay, so here we go. What we're going to do is we're going to try to confuse it even more. We're going to go in reverse alphabetical order, just to make it a little more complicated. Between Chet and I, we will provide no more than 2 minutes of information on the player, just kind of thumbnails of some of their accomplishments, and then we will give the stay or go vote. Okay, if the vote is split, if Chet says keep him, I say don't, he stays into the next round if we end up with more than 10 when we're finished. Once we've been through all 21, we'll see how many are left, and if we need to, we'll do it again, and we'll whittle just a little bit more. Okay, you ready to go, partner?
I was born ready, Bill. Let's go.
Okay, let's talk Philly sports. Here we go. You're up with Reggie White.
All right. Yep, we are starting from the end of the alphabet. That would be Reggie White, first of all. As you know, he played some college ball at the University of Tennessee, then went to the Memphis Showboats before the Eagles plucked him in the mid-1980s. He played 8 great years with the Birds, 6 more with the Packers, then one final season with Carolina. 124 sacks as an Eagle over his 8 years here. That averaged out to 15.5 per season. I think we would take a guy like that today for sure. He's a 2-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, 13-time Pro Bowl player, 12-time All-Pro selection, so quite a career for Reggie White, the Minister of Defense. He became the first player in NFL history, by the way, to have his number officially retired by multiple teams, both the Eagles and the Packers. So you know what kind of numbers he put up. I think he had 198.5 sacks in his career, second only to Bruce Smith. So stay or go. I say Reggie will stay. He's got my vote. Bill?
Well, I am going to follow your statistics, although anyone that knows me knows I am not a Reggie White fan, but I will give him a stay as well.
I'm a little surprised because I know how you feel about Reggie. That you think, I don't know, he was maybe a little overrated or whatever, but thank you for your vote.
Okay, we'll see how we get to, because I'm not sure I'm getting to 10 on the first round, so we'll see.
Okay.
Next up. Chet Walker of the 76ers, does he stay or does he go? Walker was a member of the 66-67 76ers, considered by some to be the greatest basketball team of all time. He averaged 19.3 points per game that year, played 13 seasons. 7 of those seasons were with the Syracuse Nationals, who became the Philadelphia 76ers. For his career, 18.2 points per game, 7.1 rebounds per game. He did his best scoring of his career, though, with the Chicago Bulls. And he last played in the NBA in 1974-75 and was not elected to the Hall of Fame until 2012. Chet Walker gets from me a go.
Well, before I vote, Bill, a little tidbit of information for you. Chet Walker was one of my favorite players on those great Sixers teams in the late 60s. And knowing that, coupled with my last name being Chesko, a friend of mine in fourth grade, we're talking 1967, started calling me Chet, and it stuck. So that's where I got my nickname. There you have it. Now, despite having said that, I'm going to also vote go on Chet the Jet for the initial Hall of Fame induction. Sorry, Chet.
Well, if I'd have known you were named after him, I might have changed my thought. Okay, you're up, Steve Van Buren.
Yeah, I'm old, but Steve is actually a little before my time. I remember Ray Dinger, though, once describing Van Buren as the John Riggins of his era, a real power back, tough to bring down, and a guy who, when he retired after the 1951 season, was the NFL's all-time leading rusher. That's right. Let's not forget he did lead the Birds to their first two NFL championships in 1948 and 49. He played 8 seasons with the Eagles, rushing for more than 5,800 yards. He averaged 4.4 yards per carry. He was a real key to those first two championship teams. Of course, I didn't get to see him play live. I have seen some film of him. He did look like quite a great back, and so he's going to get my vote to stay.
Well, I'm going to agree. He has to stay. If football would have stopped, you know, after those championship seasons, Steve Van Buren would have been considered the greatest running back to ever play the game. That's all you can ask for. So he absolutely stays with me.
Yeah, a Hall of Famer and a warhorse on the Eagles' back-to-back world champions. So good to see we agree so far, Bill.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? Only because I was kind on Reggie White. I might need a favor on the way back.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay, next up, Michael Jack Schmidt. I don't know that there's a whole lot that people don't know about Mike Schmidt, but we'll run through them quickly. 18 years, all with the Phillies, 548 home runs, 1,595 RBIs, 2,234 hits, led the National League in home runs 8 times, RBIs 4 times, walks 3 times, on-base percentage 3 times, slugging percentage 5 times. Three-time MVP, 10-time Gold Glove winner, 6-time Silver Slugger, 12-time All-Star. What more is there to say? I won't even tell you the rest of it. Mike Schmidt is absolutely a stay.
Yeah, still considered by almost everyone to be the sport's greatest third baseman ever. Mike Schmidt stays.
Absolutely, absolutely. And by the way, and just one point about 1980 with Mike Schmidt. He had 48 home runs, 121 RBIs. He hit .286, scored 104 runs. He led the league in 7 offensive categories and won the Gold Glove. And the World Series. So not a bad season, not a bad career for Michael Jack Schmidt.
Next up on our list, Bill.
Robin Roberts.
It's another Phillies legend, yeah, Robin Roberts, good old number 36, who spent 14 years with the Phillies from 1948 to 61. He helped the Whiz Kids win the 1950 National League pennant. Between 50 and 55, Roberts won 20 games each season. In fact, he led the NL in victories from 52 to 55. 6 times he led the league in games started, 5 times in complete games. This guy did not want to come out of the game. In fact, he once pitched 28 games in a row. In addition, he helped himself as a fielder as well as with his bat. He had 55 doubles, 10 triples, and 5 home runs during his career. His 28 wins in 1952, by the way, the year he won the Sporting News Player of the Year, were the most in the National League since 1935, the year Dizzy Dean also won 28 games. Quite a career for Robin Roberts, and I got to tell you, I went back and forth on this one. I didn't realize his numbers were as good as they were. Now, one loss record, not amazing, .286 and .245, but still, 286 victories, 2,357 strikeouts, an ERA of 3.41, and get this, 305 complete games and 45 shutouts. I was a little hesitant on this guy at first, but after reviewing his career, Robin Roberts stays, if you ask me. Bill?
Well, I thought about him too. He was a bubble player for me only because probably I never saw him play, at least as a Philly in his heyday. When I remember Robin Roberts, he was playing for the Orioles and he was in the tail end of his career at the time. But the numbers speak for themselves. It's been 65 years, and he is still the greatest right-hander to ever pitch for the Phillies. Robin Roberts has to stay.
Wow, we are 5 for 5 in agreement here. This is ridiculous. Let's see if we can get a disagreement on the next one. I don't know.
Well, we'll see, because the next man up is Pete Pijos. And Pete Pijos is probably the most underrated Hall of Famer, certainly Eagle-wise, but maybe in Philadelphia history, along with another guy that played for the 76ers that we're going to get to here shortly as well. Pete Pijos played 9 years, all with the Eagles, was a member of the 48 and 49 championship teams, was a starter. He led the league in catches 3 times and receiving yards 2 times. He was a tight end. He basically invented the tight end position. He played in 6 Pro Bowls. they moved him, and this is an interesting story. They drafted Bud Grant, who ended up being the famous coach of the Minnesota Vikings. They drafted Bud Grant as a receiver and moved Pihos to defense, where he became a Pro Bowler for two more years before moving back to offense when Bud Grant left town and went to play football in Canada. So Pete's six Pro Bowls come on both sides of the football. And along with that, he had a 98-yard punt return for a touchdown in his career. He made the 1940 All-Decade team, the NFL's 75th anniversary team, and he's been in the Hall of Fame since 1966. The statistics speak for themselves for me. Although he's older than all of us, that have watched the game, most of us have watched the game, I say Pete Pihos has to stay.
Wow. Well, he did have an impressive career, certainly, and you almost convinced me to change my vote, but he's got a goofy name, Pete Pihos, and he's way before my time, so for me, Pete goes.
Pete goes. Even though he invented the tight end position, huh? How about
that?
Yeah,
I know. I'll consider him next time we do this, maybe next year, whenever.
Okay. Well, for now, he stays on the list because one of us wanted him. So,
yep.
I'm working towards being over 10, I'm thinking, as we go here.
And I'm trying to limit mine to 10. Now, next up, we have Bernie Perrant. Nearly 40 years later, the Flyers have yet to have a goaltender as good as Bernie, who, along with Bobby Clark, Bill Barber, and Coach Fred Sherrill, was a key reason the Flyers won those back-to-back Stanley Cup championships in 74 and 75. His regular season record for those two seasons, 91 wins, 27 losses, 22 ties with 24 shutouts and a goals against average of 1.95. His playoff record, those two cup-winning seasons, 22-10 with four shutouts and a 1.96 goals against average. All of that, plus the fact I've had the pleasure of meeting him and talking with him on, I believe, three occasions, and he's just a great guy. He was number six on my list of the greatest Philly athletes of the past 50 years that we did a couple of months back. So for me, no doubt about it. Bernie stays. What say you about Bernie, Philly Pressbox?
Well, I will keep it simple. Besides all the numbers that you tossed out that are obviously very impressive, one Bob Clark made the comment many, many years ago, the only guy we could not do without was Bernie Perrant, or we don't win the Cups. That makes it easy. He's a stay.
Yep. All right.
Okay, next up, from the Philadelphia Eagles, Tommy McDonald. Interesting, as I did my research on him, seven of his 12 seasons with the Eagles, was a member of the 1960 championship team, led the NFL in receiving yards once, led in TDs twice. His best season was 1961, where he had 64 catches for 1,144 yards and 13 touchdowns. He did make six Pro Bowls, and he also returned kicks and punts throughout his career. Made the Hall of Fame in 1998. And with that, I have to say that Tommy McDonald goes.
Really? You were tricking me there because you built him up, and then I thought you were going to say he stays, but you said he's going. Okay. Who could forget that 1998 Hall of Fame induction for Tommy McDonald? He was just so happy, having a good time up there on the stage. He did have a great career, but I'm trying to limit my list to 10 inductees this first go-round, so I've got to say, for now, also, Tommy goes.
Yeah, I like Tommy, too. Again, didn't see him play enough until later in his career. But just as you looked at all the guys on the list, his numbers just didn't stack up for me.
Yeah, seemed like a real likable guy, though, as you said. Next up, Mark Howe. Boy, I loved Mark Howe when he was a Flyer back in the 1980s. One of the best two-way defensemen of his era. He was a three-time runner-up for the Norris Trophy. Hard to believe he never won it. And he made the Stanley Cup Finals three times. Never managed to get a cup either, unfortunately. But let's see, 6 years in the WHA, then 16 years in the NHL, 10 of those seasons with our Flyers. His NHL regular season numbers, 197 goals, 545 assists, for 742 points, plus he had another 10 goals in the playoffs. So Mark Howe, stay or go, that is a tough one for me. Like I said, I love the guy, but again, because I'm limiting my ballot to 10 stays, Mark Howe, for me, is going to have to wait. He goes.
I agree. I like Mark Howe a lot. Probably deserves to be in here somewhere, but I just couldn't put him in the top 10. He'll get another chance.
Yep.
Okay, next up from the 76ers, here's the other hidden guy along with Pete Pihos, and that is Hal Greer. 15 seasons, all with Syracuse and Philadelphia. 19.2 points per game, 22.1 points per game for that great 66-67 team, a 10-time All-Star. He averaged 20.4 points per game in 92 playoff games. And in the 1966-67 playoff run for the championship, he averaged 27.7 points. Hal Greer holds all the offensive records for guards, including Allen Iverson, for career-wise. Allen Iverson doesn't touch him. I am saying, for now, Hal Greer stays.
Man, I loved watching Hal Greer when I was a young Sixers fan. Great shooter, 45.2% from the field for his 15-year career, an 80% free-throw shooter. He did average more than 20 points a game if you throw out his final two seasons. But despite all that, Hal... Man, this was a tough one for me because I love them. But, Hal, you have got to go. Sorry.
Woo!
Yeah, okay. If I was going to put a dozen in, he would be 11 or 12, but he's not going to make my top 10 for now. So, Hal Greer, no.
Okay, well, he might end up being my top 12, so I may have to whittle. All right, well, we have 10 down. We have 11 to go. So what do you think so far? Surprised that we're agreeing so much?
Yeah, a little bit, but what I do think ultimately is this is really tough. All the guys that we're talking about are in their sports hall of fames for good reason, and we have to keep them out of ours for the time being. That is not an easy task, so it's difficult, and I hate saying no to Hal Greer, you know, because, man, I love the guy, but like I said, trying to keep it to 10 just makes it real tough.
It does. Okay, well, let's catch our breath, grab a mouthful of water, and thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network for the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to the www.shopforkisses.org website, you can become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. Okay, well, let's get the second half rolling, Chet, and remind our caller or our listeners that our call lines are open at 929-477-2855. It'd be interesting to hear... After today's Facebook clash, what others are thinking of our vote so far through the first 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you're up, and you have the doctor.
The league's number one attraction after he left the ABA to join the Sixers in 1976, Dr. J played 11 memorable seasons with the Sixers, leading them to the NBA Finals four times, and, of course, finally winning with the help from that Moses Malone guy, a title in 1983. That was the last one for the city's pro basketball franchise, of course. His numbers, pretty impressive as a Sixer, a 50.7% shooter from the field and a per-game scoring average of 22 points. Of course, he had those five amazing years in the ABA before he even joined the Sixers. In the ABA, he averaged nearly 29 points a game. Now, he was number four on my list of the top 10 Philly athletes of the last 50 years, so Dr. J, for me, is in no doubt about it Hall of Famer here. He stays. Bill?
Well, the doctor was the show, that's for sure, in the late 70s and through the early 80s. It took Moses to come take him to the promised land, but doctor was a highlight film, fantastic player, so much fun to watch. He absolutely has to stay.
All right.
Okay, that brings me to the 76ers. I don't know how I ended up with all the basketball guys, but it just fell that way. So I ended up with Billy Cunningham. And very interesting. My research on Billy Cunningham, it was probably the most interesting of any of them. Played 9 seasons as a 76er, 20.8 points per game, 10.1 rebounds per game, and 4 assists. 69-70 were his top season at 26-13. He was a premier sixth man on the 66-67 teams, 4-time NBA All-Star, 1-time ABA All-Star, 1-time ABA MVP, and a Hall of Famer in 1986. Quite frankly, when I looked at his numbers, I was really wondering why he was a Hall of Famer in the NBA. So Billy Cunningham has got to go.
Yeah, another real tough one for me because I loved the Kangaroo Kid. He was just so much fun to watch. You know, he left the Sixers for a year or two to go to the ABA, then he came back. Of course, he coached the Sixers to the title in 83, so got to give him some props for that. But, yeah, for me, Billy C. goes. Sorry, Billy.
Yeah, and, you know, I loved him, too, because I was a kid. I remember, you know, watching him all the time. I just thought that the numbers were going to be much more impressive than what I saw.
Yeah. Next up on our list, Robert Earl Clark. Well, just as Mike Schmidt was the greatest Philly, Bobby Clark, all those years later, is still considered to be the greatest Flyer, the captain who, of course, led the Broad Street Bullies to those back-to-back Stanley Cups 39 and 40 years ago. He's a 3-time Hart Trophy winner and the 1987 Hockey Hall of Fame inductee. Clark was rated back in 1998, by the way, number 24 on the Hockey News list of the top 100 NHL players of all time, through 1998, of course. He had 3 100-point seasons. He twice led the league in assists, played in 8 NHL All-Star games. When he retired in 84, he left with some pretty good career numbers, 358 goals, 852 assists. That's a total of 1,210 points in 1,144 career games. Yes, more than a point a game. Now, that's not as impressive as Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux, perhaps, but, you know, when you think of a great captain, a great leader, Bobby Clark is absolutely at the top or very near the top of the list like that. So he is definitely the heart and soul of the Flyers, and he is definitely staying on our list of Hall of Famers.
There's not even a whole lot to talk about. He absolutely stays. His attitude that came along with that Broad Street Bully bunch is the attitude, I think, to this day that is part of what Philadelphia is all about. And it came from Bobby Clark. It came from the Broad Street Bullies and the Philadelphia reputation as hard-nosed, hard-working people. I believe comes a lot from that group and from that particular guy.
I think our next one's a pretty easy one too, Bill, and he's yours.
Yes, he is. I have the Big Dipper. Wilt Chamberlain, I'll just run through a couple numbers that are just staggering. 3 seasons, with the Philadelphia Warriors, 3.5 seasons with the 76ers. He led the league in scoring 4 of those 6 years. He led the league in rebounding in all of those 6 years. And check this out. In 1961, he averaged 50.4 points per game, 25.7 rebounds a game. I wonder if he's available in this draft. We could use a guy like him. And another interesting statistic, in that same 1961 season, you know, they only played 48-minute games. He averaged 48.5 minutes per game. He never came out of a game, and he played overtime.
And he never fouled out either.
And in his career, he never fouled out. 13-time All-Star, 4-time MVP, obviously a 100-point game. His career averages over 14 seasons, again, amazing. 30.1 points per game, 22.9 rebounds. That's for a career. For some guys, that's one night makes a career. Absolutely, the Big Dipper has to stay.
Yeah, Bill, I don't like the fact that I'm now considered an old guy, but one advantage of that is that I got to see some amazing athletes in the 1960s and 70s, and that list for me is headed by the Big Dipper. He topped your list and mine when we did our 10 best Philly athletes of the last 50 years, so, of course, Wilt stays. Absolutely.
I'd like to have been able to been a little bit – I'd like to have been a little bit older where I could have seen him just a little bit more.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen him in
61,
62.
I do remember
62.
Seeing him live.
Yeah, I got to a game,
yeah,
two
in
the –
I do remember seeing him live,
season.
But that was it.
Yep. Yeah. I actually saw, I think, two games with the Sixers and Wilt in 66, 67, and it was just a thrill to see him because I had seen him on TV a few times, and it was just a big thrill for me as a 9-year-old kid to see him play in person. Man, he was just so impressive.
Yes, he was.
Next
they
up,
changed the rules because of him.
Absolutely. Next up, Steve Carlton, lefty, who joined the Phils in 1972 after being acquired from the Cardinals in the Rick Wise trade, of course. Promptly, he had one of the most amazing seasons in baseball history, going 27-10 with a horrible last-place Phillies team that won just 59 games total. Carlton won 241 games during his 15 years with the Phillies, 329 total wins in his Hall of Fame career, with four Cy Youngs along the way. Yeah, he hung on in Major League Baseball too long after leaving the Phils for another 4 or 5 years, and that tarnished his career a bit in the minds of some, but even with that, 329 wins, a career ERA of 3.22, more than 4,200 strikeouts, that's fourth all-time, 55 shutouts, another no-brainer. Lefty absolutely stays. Bill?
Oh, he absolutely does. You know, I remember that trade almost like it was yesterday where Philly fans were all up in arms because we traded Rick Wise.
I remember that.
You remember that? And then before the end of the season, the most popular baseball card you could get was the one that had Steve Carlton's with traded across it. As they came out with the Topps came out with the update, and it had the Steve Carlton traded card, and everybody had to have that once he was putting up those numbers that you talked about.
Yep. And where I was living where I was living in 1972, a lot of the games weren't on TV yet, and so I would listen to almost every Phillies game, especially when Carlton was pitching. I would sit there glued to the radio just because, you know, I didn't want to miss hearing what he was going to do and seeing if he would win again. I think he won 15 in a row at one point that year.
Yes, and, you know, I think, and I'm almost certain of this, when he lost that winning streak was against the Cincinnati Reds. And I was there. And Johnny Bench, who was also one of my favorite players at the time, because I was a young catcher and Johnny Bench was the catcher, Johnny Bench hit what I believe is the longest home run ever hit off a lefty at Veterans Stadium. Up into the yellow seats or up around, just below the yellow seats down the foul line. You know, they always mark that Stargell home run with the star up there in
right
field. Because it was a little bit further in the field where benches went down the line. But we were there and saw that. I don't know if that's a good memory or not, but love seeing lefty pitch. I love seeing him pitch back in the day against the Pirates when they had Parker, Stargell, and those guys who were great hitters, and he made them look foolish with throwing that left-handed slider to them left-handed hitters.
Mm-hmm. I think we have another pitcher on our list next, right?
We do. We have Jim Bunning. Jim Bunning, 11 major league seasons, six of them with the Phillies. Four of them, the first four, because he came back and finished his career in 1970 and 71 as a 38, 39-year-old, but with a 64 through 67, 19-8, 19-9, 19-14, 17-15. Pretty good run. 60 complete games. During that time, his lowest innings pitched was 284. His highest was 314. He was a workhorse. Threw a no-hitter in the American League, threw a perfect game in the National League. And when he retired in 1971 with 2,855 strikeouts, he was second only to the great Walter Johnson. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame by the Veterans Committee in 1996, And even with all those numbers, Jim Bunning cannot make my cut.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. A bit overrated in my opinion. I mean, he had a great career, certainly, but, you know, borderline Hall of Famer overall in my opinion. 6 years with the Phillies, as you mentioned, that memorable Father's Day perfect game. I know, but sorry, Senator Bunning, he goes. Next.
You're a tough man.
Next up, we have Bob the Boomer Brown, drafted by the Eagles in 1964 as the second overall pick in the draft, by the way. He played his first 5 years in the league with the Birds before moving on to the Rams and the Raiders. He was the NFL Rookie of the Year in 1964, which I would think is pretty rare for an offensive tackle. He made the Pro Bowl 6 times, including 3 times with the Eagles. But he forced the team to trade him in the spring of 69. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2004, so it took a while. Yeah, he was a good one, but I'm going to give thumbs down to Boomer Brown. Gone. What do you say, Bill?
I have to agree. Loved him as a player. He was a beast before, you know, guys were big like they are now. He was big then. Really good player, but just not quite good enough to fit in with the rest of these guys at this point.
We got another great Eagle next on the list. Let's see what you have to say about him.
Yes, we do. We're going right to the top, pretty close to the top of the food chain here. We're going to talk about the 60-Minute Man, Concrete Charlie Chuck Bednarik. 14 seasons as an Eagle, the only member of the 1949 and 1960 World Champions. A lot of people don't know that. That he was a rookie in 1949. 8 Pro Bowls along the way. Intercepted 20 passes, recovered 21 fumbles. Obviously, he played center and middle linebacker. Inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1967 and still regarded as one of the greatest players of all time. Chuck Bednarik is an easy choice to stay.
Yeah, he's a guy that I like Wilt early in his career. He's a guy that I would like to have seen live because, I mean, apparently he was just fun to watch, just, you know, pounding his opponents. We know what Frank Gifford would probably have to say about him today. Just an Eagle through and through and tough guy. And Concrete Charlie, absolutely, he's got to be on anybody's list. He stays.
Okay. Next up, we're back to basketball. How about the round mound rebound, Charles Barkley? 8 seasons with the Sixers, 4 more with Phoenix, 4 more with Houston, 23.3 points per game, 11.6 rebounds, 3.7 assists. His rookie year was his only time in Philadelphia that he did not average 20-plus points and 10-plus rebounds per game. Pretty impressive. An 11-time All-Star. He won the MVP, but it was after he left Philadelphia. His playoff numbers as the Sixers were just about the same as his regular season numbers, 22, 13, and 4. Consistent player for his whole entire 8 years in Philadelphia. Just a great player, but he can't make the cut here.
Wow, I thought you might put him in. But, yeah, Barkley was always one of my favorites. Love to watch him play. Love to hear him talk. I still do. But, yeah, he's just going to miss my top 10, along with Hal Greer. He will not get in. Barkley does not get my vote. He goes. Sorry, Sir Charles. You get the basketball guys. I get all the hockey guys, it looks like. And we have one next on our list.
And we did it by alphabetical order. We just did it every other one. It just worked out that way.
Well, Bill Barber is next on the reverse alphabetical list, part of the old LCB line from the mid-70s. Bill Barber spent his entire 12-year career with the Flyers. He scored 420 goals, had 463 assists for 883 points, just under a point a game. He added 53 playoff goals, too, not bad. He also, of course, coached the Flyers for 2 seasons before being let go, despite a pretty impressive regular season record, and won Coach of the Year award. I guess back-to-back first-round eliminations didn't sit well with management. Barber was elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1990, and still today, all these years later, he is the Flyers' all-time leader in goals with 420. He's also second behind only Tim Curran power play goals, and he trails just Bobby Clark in points. So, very impressive numbers. And like Hal Greer and Charles Barkley, a near miss for me. I'm voting for only 10 guys to stay, and unfortunately, Barber would be number 11 or 12, so he goes.
I have to agree with you. I really like Bill Barber as a player, and obviously when we were watching the Broad Street Bullies and the Stanley Cups, the LCB line was something special. And actually, I thought Bill Barber was somewhat of an underrated player back in the day, and I was real happy when he got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, because I think he was very, very worthy of that. But like many on that team, since we only have three from that era that have made the Hall of Fame, I didn't think he was going to get the credit that he deserved, and fortunately he did. But he cannot make this top 10 at this time by me.
Better luck next time, Billy.
There you go. One more left, and this was my hardest choice to make, and it was Richie Ashburn. And I'll tell you why. When I sat down to do this, he was not even going to be close in my mind. I just didn't think that he was, you know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame by the Veterans Committee. He only earned 2.1% to 30.4% of the Hall of Fame votes between 1968 and 1982. And I'm thinking, you know what, those guys are smarter than me. They would have put him in if he really deserved to be. But then I looked at the numbers. 12 years as a Philly. He hit .311 for his career, Philly career. 2,217 hits, a .394 on-base percentage for his career. 200 hits three times, two batting titles. He hit over .330 five times. He hit .350 in 1958 with a .440 on-base percentage. His career, .308 with 2,574 hits. Hall of Fame member in 1995. I've really struggled for this, and because I'm already over my list, I'm going to have to say that he doesn't make the cut, but I sure do want him on the list.
Yeah, I loved Richie, but he had a long wait to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he's going to have to wait for my vote also for the Philly Press Box Hall of Fame induction. So, man, loved listening to him as a broadcaster, and I wish I could have seen him play live, because those statistics you just spout out, I wish we had a leadoff guy like that today, because, you know, Jimmy Rollins and Ben Revere don't hold a candle to what Richie Ashburn apparently was like as a leadoff hitter back in the day.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something to see a Phillies leadoff hitter hit .350? Man, oh, man.
And walk occasionally and, bunt to get on base once in a while. That would be so much fun.
Yes, it would. Okay, so we have now covered all 21 guys. You have your list to 10, I think. My list is at 12. So let's go run over your list right quick and tell us who you have.
I think all 10 that I have staying, you also had, and then you had a couple extras. I could be wrong. I have staying in the Hall, the Philly Press Box Hall of Fame, Reggie White, Steve Van Buren, Michael Jack Schmidt, Robin Roberts, Bernie Parent, the Doctor, Julius Erving, Bobby Clark, Wilt, Lefty, and Concrete Charlie.
Okay, I do have that same 10, except I also have Pete Pihos and Hal Greer.
That's right.
On my list. So I have got to whittle down two. The first one is an easy one for me to whittle, and that is Reggie White. I was doing you a favor and leaving him there, but he just doesn't make my list.
You put Pete Pihos in over Reggie White? Is that what you're going to tell me here?
I absolutely am.
Wow.
I absolutely am. I didn't see Pete Pihos play, but everything that I've ever read about him. Yeah, I did see Reggie White, and that's why I'm not putting him in there.
Did you see any of those 198.5 sacks?
Yeah, I did. I also saw the defense he was playing with. And, you know what it's going to convince me? Because my buddies and I have had this conversation many times. When I get the opportunity sometime in my life to have a conversation with Seth Joyner or Mike Golic or Wes Hopkins, one of those guys who played on that defense, and they convince me that Reggie White was as good as the hype, I'll buy. Until then, my eyes saw too many games that I thought he mailed in, and I saw him play a lot of great games, but I also saw a lot of games that I didn't think he played hard. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. So
you gotta cut
now
him
I'm down to my last one, and I am torn between one Robin Roberts and two Hal Greer. And I think that I am going to, very reluctantly, I am going to slide Mr. Hal Greer out. And I am going to keep Robin Roberts in.
Okay.
Which brings my list is now Chuck Bednarik, Steve Carlton, Will Chamberlain, Bobby Clark, Robin Roberts, Julius Erving, Bernie Parent, Steve Van Buren, Mike Schmidt, and Pete Pihos.
So that means we agree on 9 of them, and then I have Reggie, while you have Pete Pihos, correct?
Is that how it worked out?
I think so.
Wow. Well, who'd have thought that?
Yep,
well,
so we're in agreement on 9 names.
Yeah, well, interesting. And I know I can't wait, actually. I'm looking forward to when we post the article, which we'll do very shortly after the show, and the votes start coming in. And I'm ready to hear the Reggie White flack I'm going to get. But I've been hearing it for years. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong, and I will change my ways if I am wrong. But somebody that was in the huddle, somebody in the room, is going to have to tell me that what I saw was wrong.
Okay.
But I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the battle.
Oh, I know you are, Bill. I know. And if anybody joined us late, just to rehash, we did not include a couple of obvious names, or they might be obvious to you, guys like Moses Malone, Norm Van Brocklin, guys who didn't play here that long. No Allen Iverson because he's not in the Basketball Hall of Fame yet. Pete Rose, we didn't include either. He's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, as you all know. And we didn't include Brian Dawkins either. We've taken a lot of flack for that. Brian Dawkins has only been out of football for, 3 or 4 years now? And, you know, he is going to be in the Hall of Fame. We know that. But because he's not in his Sports Hall of Fame just yet, we didn't feel it was right to include him as yet in the Philly Press Box Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of a guy like Brian Dawkins, who, gosh, how good was he? But, you know, you look at this list of 10 that you have, and you say, who's coming out to let Brian Dawkins in? And this is a pretty impressive list.
It is indeed.
And you can say the same with Iverson. Of course, I think differently about Iverson, too, as compared to others. I'd have Hal Greer before I'd have Iverson. But he, you know, a lot of people like him, especially younger people that didn't see a lot of these old guys that we like. But he'll be an interesting guy to put on the list as time comes. And I saw a lot of conversation about Eric Lindros. You know, Eric Lindros is, unfortunately, as much as I really liked him, may not make the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
ever.
That's hard to believe. I mean, when he was healthy, he was just amazing. It's just a shame he had the concussion problems because it shortened his career and his effectiveness, of course. So, loved watching the Big E in his early years with the Flyers. He was just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you something. If we were just to say, just for fun, add one, even though we're not, just for discussion's sake, add one from your 10 that you or 11 that you whittled out, who would you add?
Are you talking somebody who was not part of the original 21?
No, one of the 11 that we sent down.
Okay, for me, it would be either Bill Barber or Hal Greer, because they were my two top cuts. I had to, you know, whittle mine to 10, and so, yeah, Barber and Greer were 11 and 12.
Okay. I would go, obviously, I had Greer and Robert, or Greer in that group to start with, but, boy, I tell you, I was overwhelmed with the Richie Ashburn numbers. And, like I said, never would have thought it, but the numbers are sure worthy. And I guess I again, maybe I have to call and talk with my father, who's, you know, who was around for all this, but why did Richie Ashburn not get consideration for the Hall of Fame for all those years?
I'm guessing it's just because there were so many other greats in that era, the 1950s, you know, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, all these other legends, Joe DiMaggio for the early part of the 50s. He was just kind of overshadowed by all these other first ballot Hall of Famers, you know? So he didn't get the respect that he deserved despite the numbers that he was putting up.
I guess, but, I mean, it went on for 15 years. It just really surprised me, really surprised me.
Yeah, and you ever see some of the old highlight reel stuff of Richie Ashburn? Just watching him fly around the bases, he was probably really, really fun to watch back in the day. I would have loved to have seen more of him in action.
Yeah, and of course, it probably doesn't hurt that he was a broadcaster for all those years, and we all, you know, him and Harry together, you know, became part of our growing up. But, geez, as a player, something else.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I wanted to go off base on this just a little bit with you, Chet, and try something a little bit different.
Okay.
Okay, so let me see if we can get this done right quick. And we're gonna make you have to think a little bit, okay? What we're going to do is we have put together some sound bites, okay, of different events that have happened along the history of the Phillies, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of compare this to your
rapid fire.
Rapid fire, and we're going to play this. We're going to let you tell us what it makes you think of, where you were, or what it reminds you of. All right? You
Let's
up for that?
Okay. I'm game for anything.
Okay, and obviously you have no idea what's coming, so
I
we're going to see if we can make this. We're going to see if we can make this work. Okay? There you
mm-hmm.
go.
As we mentioned, one of the game's feared hitters, George Foster, due to hit next. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swing, a line drive. He did it. Vukovic made the grab. Wise has done it. A no-hit, no-run game. Throws with a line drive to Vukovic. It's all over. Rick Wise has just pitched a no-hitter.
Ah, that was, what, 1970? Rick Wise with the no-hitter. And I believe it was the same game he hit two home runs. And I was at my sister's home in Levittown, Pennsylvania, and I watched the game. I was cheering on the Phils and loved every minute of it because Rick Wise, you know, was known as a pretty good hitting pitcher, and then he goes out and throws the no-hitter as well. So, yeah, I remember that one well.
Yeah, and I remember exactly where I was as well that night. Back in my hometown of Collingdale, Pennsylvania, at the Collingdale Swim Club, where we used to all hang out, and they had the game every night, had the game on the speakers there throughout the swim club, and I remember everybody getting all quiet listening to the speakers, listening to Rick Wise throw his no-hitter. Great, a great
right?
memory for sure.
1970?
70 or 71.
Yeah, it was one of those.
Yep, because it wasn't long after that they moved him out. And how about some other couple names in that clip? Pete Rose with the hit and John Vukovic with the catch.
Yeah, John Vukovic. How about that?
How about that?
Good memories.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, that's bringing us close to the top of our hour, Chet. And I'm worn out, but we got the list down to our 10.
Just going to say the same thing. I'm a little bit worn out. I got nothing left tonight. I had to use my brain a little bit too much over the last couple of hours as I prepared, you know, my notes for all of this. I don't like having to do that.
That's right. That's right. We'll get back to having our guests next week, and we'll let them do all the work, okay?
That's what I love. Yes, indeed.
There you go. So what we're going to do, we'll give a reminder again to the fans that we're going to post the article. You can vote. Vote for your 10. You have the same 21 to choose from that we chose from. Pick your 10. You'll be able to look at the votes so you can tell who's got what once you cast your vote. And keep track of it. We'll run it for till next Wednesday. We'll talk about it on next Wednesday night's show and see what the people thought.
Yeah, and don't be shy about voting for Reggie White and telling Bill what you think of his choice of not voting for Reggie White.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. I've been taking that for a long time. But I tell you what, it sure has been a lot of fun researching these legends of Philadelphia sports and talking about them. And, you know, if you threw out the top 10 and you kept the second 11, you can say, man, what a great bunch of players we had the opportunity to see here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, just thinking about some of these guys that I loved watching as a kid, like Chet Walker and Hal Greer and Billy the Kid. I didn't get to see Tommy McDonald or Pete Pihos, but, you know, just doing some research on those guys, that was fun. Robin Roberts, the same thing. I didn't realize just how good a career he had. So this was really a fun show. I enjoyed seeing all these names again and doing a little research about some of the guys I didn't know quite as well who were a little bit before my time. But, you know, and then the stats on Clark and Barber and Perrant, just some good memories that we rehashed tonight, Bill.
Yeah, I agree. And it was fun. And what we'll have to do is we'll have to set another date. Maybe we won't wait a whole year to add another few guys and go through some of this again. And what we'll do maybe is we'll come up with another 5 or 10 to add to the 11 that we have left over, and we'll go through this again and see where the next batch sorts out.
Yeah, maybe we'll do 10 now, and then we'll limit it to like 3 or 4 for each future induction. You know, we don't want to get it too overblown.
Right. We don't want to have 50 guys in there.
Right.
Okay. So we'll be back next Wednesday night, June 4th, to bring you the results of the week-long voting. We'll talk all things Philly sports. We'd like to thank Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, as well as our sponsor, Kisses, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. So for Jim Chet Chesko, this is Bill Furman. Hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday night, June 4th at 7 p.m. to talk all things Philly sports. You can listen to our Facebook page at Philly Press Box Radio or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.